had a flame out.
Yeah, and I went into the, I was below the ejection envelope and I had to go into the drink off San Diego, right off the Del Coronado Hotel. Broke my back, spent 3 months in the hospital with a body cast. That's right after I got back from Korea.
Did you have to eject or were you?
I couldn't, I was too low. That's being called outside the envelope. Mm-hmm. I was outside the ejection envelope. So I ditched it and I broke my back.
And they had to actually rescue you from in the plane before
no,
you,
I got, I
you got out?
Get out. Stand up on the wing of the airplane, just sank out one of the other. But, and that's really the reason that I ended up being out of the Navy, is because they didn't realize at the time, even though I spent 3 months in the hospital in the VICAP, that I had injured my left kidney and my pancreas. So I came back to Hoffman again about 14 years later. Mm-hmm. And so I was in the hospital and going to be retired physically, and I was selected for admiral, and they retired me with admiral's pay and without the rank. Because I had filled in all their so-called slots, you know.
Right, right.
And had command of all these squadrons, and I had gone to the National War College, which is the premier war college. And
right.
Had command of my little ship, command of the big carrier, and went from there to be chief of staff of the 2nd Fleet. So I really was and that's where I ended up in the hospital, so I got retired.
Well, now, you received the Thompson Trophy.
Yeah.
What
that was for speed. That's still given for
speed.
Absolute speed.
Okay. Your duty on the Saratoga and the Mediterranean during the Lebanon crisis. Do you want to comment on that a little bit?
Well, it was really interesting. I, being the ops officer, I used to get to fly the TF every now and then. So I went in and landed in Lebanon a couple of times just to go in and see what the Marines were doing. And when we got word on it, we were in Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Essex, I think, was the other carrier. And she was down in that neighborhood. So they recalled us, they were looking all over town, which we had people on leave and everything else, because it was over the 4th of July of Bastille Day, period. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to be in there through the whole thing. They pulled us out. And
the crisis erupted that quickly.
Yeah, and so George Anderson was the Cardiff commander. Or he later became the CNO.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember coming into the lobby of the Martinez Hotel, because we had a little admin ashore, and we had a hotel suite there, which about 6 commanders that were all together in a place to change clothes and everything. And God, everybody's running wildly around. But it was kind of funny, because I got a chance to fly Admiral Anderson over to. He liked to fly with me, so we'd go fly over to Rhodes and places like that for meetings with Cap Brown, who was 6th Fleet, and everything. And then everything was pretty well calmed down, and I got orders to go to London to be on Admiral Holloway, who was the head of the
Well, what specifically? The Saratoga, of course, pulled out of Cannes and headed for.
And we started launching airplanes and tanking them
to
give air cover, but they didn't really need it. And the Essex got there about 8 hours before we did, because she was closer.
Mm-hmm.
But we steamed down there at about 28 knots. We were really making knots.
So you just stood off the coast?
Yeah.
And
very close into the coast, in fact. Yeah.
But there was no action involved. Other than you flew in just to see what was going on.
Just to see what was going on, yeah.
Did you just overfly or did you land? And
I landed. I went right in and landed at the airfield. Yeah. Took some mail into the Marines, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, sure.
The other thing we haven't talked about yet is your duty in the Independence.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's very important. I would like for you to take some time with the.
Well, It was a wonderful period of time. I really enjoyed it. I really found out that I really like Chip Haley. You know, it really, because everything was such slow motion in comparison to flying airplanes. Mm-hmm. It really made the job. Everybody thought, you know, I guess I'm tying my back, but everybody thought I was a wonderful chip handler. And I will say the commanding officers of Saratoga, when I was ops officer, gave me a chance to put the ship alongside of the oilers and refuelers there. Mm-hmm. But I would always make high-speed approaches to the replenishment ships. Everybody thought that was great, because I'd come up there and back down two-thirds and slap it alongside. And in Vietnam, we were doing it, you know, three or four times a week.
Well, now, when did you take command of the Independence?
I took command of her in 64.
Was she already in Vietnam when you...
I took command of it, and we went up for NATO maneuvers, and then we went into the Mediterranean, and we came back. We were supposed to go back to the Med, but I was—I had the very first all-jet air wing embarked in the ship with the new A-6s, the intruders. So they decided they wanted to have them out in Vietnam. So we went around. We went up through the Indian Ocean, and we went at 20 knots.
Now, did you go through the canal or around South America?
We went around...
you went around the other
Cape
way.
Town,
okay.
Around by Cape Town up to the Indian Ocean.
Right.
And then down through the Straits of Malacca. And we had a very successful... because we had this experienced air group, you know, because they froze everybody sort of in the air group. So we had all these experienced pilots in there that we had just come back from a Mediterranean deployment. Mm-hmm. So we were really, and so we got a lot of accommodations because of, you know, our boarding rate.
Where did the Independence patrol along the Vietnam coast?
Yankee Station. You know, I don't know whether anybody talked to you about Yankee Station or not.
No.
Well, Yankee Station was a fixed spot in the ocean off of, just a little bit north of Da Nang.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, some nights you can see firefights in at Da Nang from the ship. That's how close in we were. At Yankee Station, you'd operate within a radius of maybe 50 miles or so. Uh-huh. So we just operate in that area. And you could go north and you could go south. And you were pretty close in.
What kind of raids were your planes?
Well, we did everything. We did road recces. We did some work up around Thailand, Cambodia. We ran the first raids into Cambodia when they weren't talking about it. And like I said, Tan Wa Bridge, you know, they had said if you ever knocked the Tan Wa Bridge down, the earth was going to split in two. Because that was how the two hemispheres were held together by the Tan Wa Bridge.
So. Didn't happen, did it?
No, it didn't. We finally knocked the bridge down after we lost Jerry Dent. We knocked it down. But it was busy, real busy.
Well, now, as CO, you didn't have the privilege of flying at all while you were...
I was the one commanding officer that had a waiver to fly, mainly because I had quite a bit of experience, you know. So Paul Ramsey was a commander of Naval Air Force in Atlantic Fleet, so he gave me permission to fly until he found out that I flew a couple of recce flights in an F-4. And I got a message that I was being paid to command the ship and not to fly and have fun. And he worried about maybe me getting bagged, you know. But I did fly off the ship.
So you did see combat.
Well, it wasn't real combat, you know. A couple of
500 pounds.
Just doing a little recon. But I got a great big, beautiful picture of me being launched off a waste cat off my own ship. And the guys painted up one airplane. CAG always had a double zero on the nose of his airplane. They put a triple zero on one F-4 with my name on the cockpit rail. You know, that was my airplane. I got to fly it pretty often. But I usually didn't fly off my own ship. I did a couple of times, but I didn't. I flew with the air group all the time.
Did you suffer many losses?
Well, we lost one A3J, which is a photo reconnaissance airplane, and lost a couple. While I was still in there, I got detached while we were out there, and we lost two A6s while I was there. Got several A4s hit. The F-4s didn't have any problems. So then they brought me back. I went to be chief of staff of the 2nd Fleet, and I almost got ordered back out to take command of the Independence again because Blackie Kennedy relieved me. His wife was very seriously injured, one of his daughters in an automobile accident, so they brought me back to the States. So they prepped me to go back out again, but then they changed their mind. I didn't have to go.
You probably would have preferred to be out there, wouldn't you?
Sure, I would have enjoyed it. Hell, they were going to go to Hong Kong. I'd have gone back and joined them in Hong Kong. But I stayed, and I enjoyed the 2nd Fleet. That was fun. And then I had to get out. I was relieved right out of that job.
And due to
I have an oddball retirement date because when you get retired physically, you have to do it any day of the week. If you're getting retired, you know, just because you're being retired, it's always the last day of the month. And so my date of retirement is the 27th of April. I remember it well.
Well, thank you so much.
Well,